As a parent, the one thing we cannot do is silence our child's spirit. The moment we allowed my daughter to be who she is, to grow her hair, to wear the clothes she wanted to wear, she was a different child. And I mean, it was immediate.
I hope that our time together has helped show you why passing the Equality Act will have such a significant positive impact, not only on the lives of kids like me, but on the future of our country.
The Grammy goes to...
The Grammy goes to...
The Grammy goes to...
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Vatican nixes same-gender blessings, a Missouri dad and a Washington daughter defend trans rights, and queer Grammy wins break records. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Melanie Keller.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With News Wrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 20th, 2021. The Vatican is giving up queer Roman Catholics for Lent this week by specifically forbidding priests to bless same-gender unions. A March 15th declaration issued by the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith calls such unions a choice and claims that God does not and cannot bless sin. Pope Francis approved the declaration despite the more welcoming attitude towards LGBTQ people he has expressed compared with his predecessors. The document quotes an earlier papal statement that there are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and family. This week's statement was reportedly in response to an inquiry from some German bishops. There is defiance in the ranks. The queer Roman Catholic advocacy group Dignity USA proclaimed in a press release that they have been blessing and marrying same-sex couples for 50 years and are committed to gaining equal access to the sacraments for LGBTQ plus people. Francis DiBernardo of the Maryland-based New Ways Ministry said that the toothpaste is out of the tube and it can't be put back inside. A group of rebel priests called the Austrian Priests Initiative have their own declaration. We will not reject any loving couple.
U.S. President Joe Biden and other high-profile Roman Catholics around the world are lamenting the blessings ban. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg's husband Chasten posted a social media reminder to queer Catholics that the Pope isn't your county clerk. Sir Elton John tweeted, "How can the Vatican refuse to bless gay marriages because they are sin, yet happily make a profit from investing millions in Rocket Man, a film which celebrates my finding happiness from my marriage to David. Hashtag hypocrisy." Blatantly out comic actor-writer Billy Eichner publicly proposed to equally out Schitt's Creek star Dan Levy, just to make the Pope angry.
A first-of-its-kind ruling by a district court in Japan has declared that denying queer couples civil marriage is unconstitutional. The Sapporo District Court decision is the first legal victory out of a number of lawsuits challenging the country's ban on marriage equality. However, the court rejected the plaintiff's demand for financial compensation from the government, 1 million yen each for the pain caused by not being able to marry. Judgments pending in Tokyo, Osaka, Nagoya, and Fukuoka could be affected by this week's ruling. Two male partners and a female couple were the plaintiffs in the Sapporo case. They filed suit after officials denied efforts to register their marriages in 2019. The district court judge decided on March 17th that those officials violated Article 14 of Japan's constitution, guaranteeing equal treatment. It rejected the government's claim that Article 24 expressly excludes same-gender couples in its definition of civil marriage as based on the mutual consent of both sexes. A number of local jurisdictions and major companies in Japan have already established various ways to recognize same-gender couples. But full marriage rights require federal action, and Japan's conservative government has been consistently resistant. Goldman Sachs Japan's Masa Yanagisawa sees marriage equality as quite business critical.
He's also a board member of the NGO Marriage for All Japan and told Reuters that all the other advanced countries have this, so Japan will lose out competitively. Then there's the fact that people can't be who they are.
Taiwan became the first in Asia to open civil marriage to queer couples in May 2019, but marriages to people from non-marriage equality countries was excluded. And human rights groups across the island said that about 1,000 couples were rejected last year under those restrictions, according to Pink News. The Taipei High Administrative Court overturned that provision on March 4th. It said that under laws governing binational marriages, foreign laws should not be considered if they interfere with the public order or good morals of Taiwan. Meanwhile, legislation to plug the loophole is pending. However, one of the plaintiffs still can't wed his Malaysian fiancée because Taiwan's marriage laws require documentation that he's single. Plaintiff activist Chi Cha-wei said that the COVID pandemic and fear of repercussions in his homeland have prevented his fiancée from applying for the certificate.
Democracy activists in Tunisia are rallying around imprisoned LGBTQ rights campaigner Rania Amdani. She's been in the crosshairs of the police union since January, when she became a visible presence in almost daily protests against repression in the North African nation. When the 26-year-old tried to file a complaint of police intimidation, she was charged with insulting a police officer. Article 125 of the Penal Code punishes that offense with up to a year in prison. A member of the legal team representing Amdani told reporters that she was sentenced to 6 months. She's being held in a women's prison in Manuba, west of Tunis. Her lawyers charge that guards routinely enter her cell at night to harass and threaten her. Human Rights Watch and other global watchdogs are warning that Tunisian authorities are sending an appalling message to victims of discrimination that they have nowhere to turn and that any objection could land them in prison themselves.
A Bangladesh TV station celebrated International Women's Day with the debut of the country's first transgender news anchor. Tashnuva Anand Shishir told The Hollywood Reporter that she cried when colleagues clapped and cheered after her first three-minute newscast on March 8th for Boishaki TV. She said, "I was very nervous, but that she was determined to overcome this ordeal, this final test." The 29-year-old activist and actress is also studying public health at Adaka University. Tipu Alam Milan is the station's deputy managing director. He noted the increasing acceptance of transgender people in government circles, led by Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. Milan added that another transgender person has been hired to work in their drama department and said that, "We want the attitude of society to change through these appointments."
A genderless Mr. Potato Head, the withdrawal of a handful of radically insensitive Dr. Seuss books, and similar boogie person issues. That's the kind of cancel culture howling right-wing U.S. cable behemoth Fox News has been using to distract its loyal viewers from the successes of the new Biden administration. The latest target is huge online retailer Amazon and its liberal billionaire leader, Jeff Bezos. He became an even bigger foe after he bought the Washington Post, a right-wing villain for its allegedly liberal slant. Amazon announced this week that it will no longer sell books that characterize same-gender attraction or transgender identities as mental illnesses. One book no longer available from Amazon is When Harry Became Sally by political conservative writer Ryan T. Anderson. He criticizes gender-affirming surgery and urges trans people to get therapy to remain in the gender that they were assigned at birth. A letter obtained by The Washington Post from Republican Senators Marco Rubio of Florida, Mike Lee of Utah, Mike Braun of Indiana, and Josh Hawley of Missouri to Bezos champions the book. It charges that its removal was part of a larger campaign to restrict conservative voices and information on Amazon. A response from Amazon simply stated that, "We carefully consider the content we make available in our stores, and we review our approach regularly. We have chosen not to sell books that frame LGBTQ+ identity as a mental illness."
Finally, the hoots and hollers in the car with her spouse Susan scared the dog awake. After all, her competition for a Grammy in the category of Best Spoken Word Album included Flea, Ken Jennings and Alex Trebek, Ronan Farrow, and Meryl Streep. The winner tweeted about it with the caption, "Ha! Whoa! Wow!" Here's a sample from her winning entry.
"If you had to point to a beginning, to the exact location of the Big Bang from which American industrial and economic power began its astounding and sometimes reckless expansion, it would be at the end of a percussion-driven, blunt-force drill bit, lowered through a cast-iron pipe powered by a 6-horsepower steam engine, slamming down and down and down into the earth on a farm in northwest Pennsylvania. And on August 28, 1859, the crude yet sublime substance, rock oil as it was called at the time, presented itself on the earth's surface.
From blowout, corrupted democracy, rogue state Russia, and the richest, most destructive industry on earth, that was Grammy winner and top-rated MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow. And I gotta give her a shout-out. We went to college together, making us proud, Rachel. Congratulations. Stay tuned for our queer ear on the music of the Grammys on This Way Out.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 20th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Marcos Najera. Stay healthy.
And I'm Melanie Keller. Stay safe. Better than I imagined. I want a house with a crowded table. Rain on me, rain.
Queer muses make music at the Grammys later in the program.
You're the end of a rainbow, a part of gold. Your daddy's little girl to heaven hold. A precious gem is what you are, and your daddy's little.
Transgender youth and their families are on the front line of the fight for queer equality around the U.S. Mississippi's bill to ban trans student athletes from participating in school sports was signed by the governor earlier this month, and it's just one of more than 40 similar laws currently making their way through state legislative pipelines. Nearly 30 of them would also block gender-affirming medical care for minors, regardless of parental permission. Trans advocates, civil rights defenders, student sports groups, and celebrities are throwing everything they've got into raising public awareness about the dangerous myths behind these laws, not to mention the political expediency of targeting marginalized people to distract from failed policies and social unrest. This week, they focused the nation's attention on Missouri, where a trans child's father told his story to a state house committee that's considering whether his kid should be kicked off the team.
My name is Brandon Bulware, and Chairman, I'll go as quickly as I can. I'm a lifelong Missourian. I'm a business lawyer. I'm a Christian. I'm the son of a Methodist minister. I'm a husband. I'm the father of 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, including a wonderful and beautiful transgender daughter, who today happens to be her birthday, and I chose to be here. She doesn't know that. She thinks I'm at work. One thing I often hear when transgender issues are discussed is, I don't get it. I don't understand. And I would expect some of you to have said that and feel the same way. I didn't get it either. For years, I didn't get it. For years, I would not let my daughter wear girl clothes. I did not let her play with girl toys. I forced my daughter to wear boy clothes and get short haircuts, play on boy sports teams. Why did I do this? To protect my child. I did not want my daughter or her siblings to get teased. And truth be told, I did it to protect myself as well. I wanted to avoid those inevitable questions as to why my child did not look and act like a boy. My child was miserable. I cannot overstate that. She was absolutely miserable, especially at school. No confidence, no friends, no laughter. I honestly say this, I had a child who did not smile. We did that for years. We did that against the advice of teachers, therapists, and other experts. I remember the day everything changed for me. I'd gotten home from work, and my daughter and her brother were in the front lawn. And my daughter had sneaked on one of her older sister's play dresses. And they wanted to go across the street and play with the neighbor's kids. It was time for dinner. I said, come in. She asked, can she go across the street? I said, no. She asked me if she went inside and put on boy clothes, could she then go across the street and play? And it's then that it hit me that my daughter was equating being good with being someone else. I was teaching her to deny who she is. As a parent, the one thing we cannot do, the one thing, is silence our child's spirit. And so on that day, my wife and I stopped silencing our child's spirit. The moment we allowed my daughter to be who she is, to grow her hair, to wear the clothes she wanted to wear, she was a different child. And I mean, it was immediate. It was a total transformation. I now have a confident, a smiling, a happy daughter. She plays on a girls' volleyball team. She has friendships. She's a kid. I came here today as a parent to share my story. I need you to understand that this language, if it becomes law, will have real effects on real people. It will affect my daughter. It will mean she cannot play on the girls' volleyball team or dance squad or tennis team. I ask you, please don't take that away from my daughter or the countless others like her who are out there. Let them have their childhoods. Let them be who they are. I ask you to vote against this legislation.
That was Brandon Woolware defending his trans daughter before a committee of the Missouri House of Representatives. In the U.S. Senate, one trans daughter spoke for herself and scored quite a hit in support of the Equality Act. The same bogus arguments against trans inclusion heard in state legislatures are being wielded against the long-debated measure to add sexual orientation and gender identity to federal civil rights laws. This thriving high school girl explained to the Judiciary Committee, chaired by Senator Dick Durbin, why her future depends on the bill's passage.
Good morning. My name is Stella Keating, and my pronouns are she, her. I want to start by thanking Chair Durbin, Ranking Member Grassley, their staff, and the committee for the opportunity to speak to you today. It is the honor of my lifetime to be here. I'm 16 years old. I live in the state of Washington, and I'm a sophomore in high school, and I just got my driver's license, which was a great day. Like all teenagers, I have a lot of interest, and the list just continues to grow. I'm really into hiking and playing chess and also the ukulele. I love history, and one of my goals is to become a civil rights attorney. A couple of months ago, I started my first part-time job, and if you ask my parents, I spend too much time on my phone. A movement I helped launch 3 years ago, the Gender Cool Project, has a super simple mission. Help replace opinions with real experiences meeting transgender and non-binary youth who are thriving. So I'd like to introduce myself again. Hi, I'm Stella, and I'm transgender. I'm here before you today representing the hundreds of thousands of kids just like me who are supported and loved by their family, friends, and communities across the country. Now, I want to share with you why the Equality Act is so important. Through Gender Cool, I've traveled across the country, both in person and more recently virtually, with 16 of my peers. We've been able to speak in front of thousands of people in the corporate world and millions more through the media. I'm so humbled by how some of the biggest companies on the planet are lifting up our voices and listening so that they can become places where all young people like me want to work. They recognize that we are the next gen workforce. They want to attract the best talent, and they know that my generation is creating a country where everyone belongs. But that's the good news, and here's where things fall apart. Right now, I live in a state where I have equal protection under the law. And as a high school sophomore, I'm starting to look at colleges. And all I can think about is this. Less than half of the states in our country provide equal protection for me under the law. What happens if I want to attend a college in a state that doesn't protect me? Right now, I could be denied medical care or be evicted for simply being transgender in many states. How is that even right? How is that even American? What if I'm offered a dream job in a state where I can be discriminated against? Even if my employer is supportive, I still have to live somewhere. I have to eat in restaurants, and I have to have a doctor. And why am I having to worry about all this at the age of 16? This is the United States of America, the country that I love. Every young person, every person, regardless of who they are or who they love, should be able to be excited about their future. I have big goals for mine. In addition to becoming a civil rights attorney, I'm determined to run for public office. I represent America's future. We are the next generation of small business owners, software engineers, scientists, teachers, nurses, presidents. And for my generation to achieve all that, we will. We just need to be able to live our lives. In closing, you've just spent some time with me. You've learned about my dreams, my values, my dedication to hard work, to respecting others, even those who don't believe I should have the same rights as all young people. I hope that our time together has helped show you why passing the Equality Act will have such a significant, positive impact, not only on the lives of kids like me, but on the future of our country. Thank you, Ranking Member Grassley, and all the members for providing me this historic opportunity to speak. Chair Durbin, I would personally like to thank you for trusting in me to represent the voices of millions of youth across our nation ready to lead. Thank you.
Thank you, Stella. Excellent presentation. I can see you as a candidate, a successful one someday.
16-year-old Stella Keating spoke before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee in support of the Equality Act. Republican opponents like Senator Lindsey Graham have vowed to block the measure using the Senate's filibuster rule. That would require 60 votes to pass it, meaning that an unlikely 10 Republicans would have to break ranks. Democrats are struggling over whether to risk amending the rules. The Recording Academy's Rainbow was aglow with LGBTQ performers, taking home a total of 9 Grammy Awards during its remotely held televised ceremonies on March 14th. In the following music mix, you'll hear queer Haitian-Canadian double winner DJ Catronata. He was also nominated for Best New Artist and produced a mix of the best R&B song. By singer-songwriter Michelle Indiocello was one of the winners in that category. Out singer-songwriter Brandi Carlile shared the Grammy for Best Country Music Song, and Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande became the first female duo to win in their category.
For Best Dance Recording,
the Grammy goes to Catronata featuring Kali Uchis.
Wow. Just want to thank Kali Uchis for the record. Most importantly, I want to thank Neil for the mixing. I want to thank Lauren for the vocal engineering. And yo, I want to thank the whole team, man. It means a lot. I appreciate it. I want to thank the Academy. Peace.
For Best Dance Electronic Album,
the Grammy goes to Catronata.
I want to thank, oh my God, man, this is crazy. This is insane. I want to thank the whole management. I want to thank the booking agents, the creative directors, the design team. Like, this is insane. I'm taking this one back to Montreal. Yo, thank my family. Thank everybody. Peace, peace, peace.
For Best R&B Song, a Songwriter's Award.
The Grammy goes to Better Than I Imagine, Robert Glasper, Michelle Indiocello, Gabriella Wilson.
Yo! Oh, my gosh. I have to thank Gabby, of course. Thank you for having the thought. We literally went in the studio at the last minute. She went, let's go. We went and wrote this song. Thank you, Michelle Deggio, for jumping on this. Thank you to the band, Justin Tyson, Derek Hodge, Jahi Sundance, Q Million for mixing it, Thank you to Loma Vista for believing in me, trusting me with everything. Thank you to my amazing team, my manager, Vincent Bennett, Leandra, my assistant, Leandra Williams, Frida Freaks, you know what I'm saying? Frida Knowles, we in the building. Thanks to everybody. I love you so much. I'd like to give this award to my aunt who just passed away, my aunt Jennifer. Thank you so much. It was better.
Scrambled to get a flight. I lost my phone. I'm calling you from the hotel phone.
For Best Country Song, a Songwriter's Award.
The Grammy goes to Brandi Carlile, Natalie Himby, and Lori McKenna.
I am in complete shock. And I'm so thrilled. First and foremost, Lori McKenna and Natalie Himby. Yay! Girls, thank you so much for inviting me to a beautiful song. And to the high women, yes! Amanda Shires, Maren Morris, Cheryl Crow, Yola, and of course, our beloved Dave Cobb.
I want a house with a crowded table and a place by the fire for.
For Best Pop Duo or Group Performance.
The Grammy goes to Rain On Me, Lady Gaga with Ariana Grande.
Other queer Grammy winners included lesbian Alabama Shakes lead vocalist Brittany Howard, whose best rock song, Stay High, made it a queer best song winner threesome. And outperformers Lauren Patton and Ezra Menas were cast members of the Grammy-winning Best Musical Theater album, Jagged Little Pill. The Celluloid Closet producers Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman grabbed the Best Music Film Grammy for their documentary Linda Ronstadt, The Song of My Voice. Queer musicians Sophie and Ari Gold were honored during the In Memoriam tribute. And MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow won the Grammy for Best Spoken Word Album. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Melanie Keller and Marcos Nahara, produced by Brian DeShazer, Michael Bublé, Teresa James, Kate Trinata, Robert Glasper, The High Woman, and Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a request from Christopher David Trentum, and donors David Hunt and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WRFI Watkins Glen, New York, KXSU Seattle, Washington, 3CR Fitzroy, Victoria, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.